If you're able to stand as we open with our song, I invite you to do so. On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host, redeemed by blood. They hymned their king in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sword or flame for truth or Jesus' lovely name. Shout victory now and hail the Lamb and bow before the great I am. And bow before the great I am. While everlasting ages roll, eternal love shall feast their soul, and scenes of bliss forever new rise in succession to their view. Rise in succession to their view. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts on high adored, who like me thy praise should sing, O Almighty King. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts on high adored, holy, holy, holy.
Please be seated.
Good morning, you beloved community. Welcome to our fellowship of believers, of hopers, of dreamers, of doers, saints and sinners alike. You are welcome here. We bring who we are and what we have, and we worship, giving thanks to God because of what God has done and what God continues to do in the name of Jesus. We're so glad that you're here today. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister here at Southwest Central Church of Christ. If you are joining us in person, like so many of you are, it's great to see you. Thanks for being here. If you're watching online, thanks for joining at this time as well. We're so grateful for your presence. As always, we will share communion together, the bread and the cup. And so if you are watching at home, now's a great time to get those supplies that you'll use a little bit later during our service. If you're with us, as we've been doing the last 2 months, I've been asking for volunteers to help me share the bread and the cup. If you would like to do that, you can start thinking about that even now. We continue to light a Christ candle that reminds us that Jesus' presence is with us, no matter if we are gathered as a body like this or spread out all over the city, our state, or world, that Christ's presence continues to sit with us. So Cora is going to come and light our Christ candle. I will read our psalm for today, and then Caleb will lead us in two more songs. I'm going to invite you to please stand for our psalm today, Psalm 138. Let's remain standing for the two songs that follow, please. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. Every king in all the earth will thank you, Lord, for all of them will hear your words. Yes, they will sing about the Lord's ways, for the glory of the Lord is very great. The Lord is great and he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. Though I am surrounded by troubles, you will protect me from the anger of my enemies. You reach out your hand, and the power of your right hand saves me. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon me, for you have made me.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story, the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I still thy goodness prove. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee, never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Please be seated. Last week we began a series in Mark, and during our service we began this practice, which we're going to do for the next 6 months during our services. This is right in the center of Mark, the crux of what's happening, the turning point in Mark's gospel. We'll come to this eventually, of course, but up until then and even after, we're going to recite it together. I will do the reader part, if you will then join in collectively with the all. After we do this, let's take just a moment or two in silent prayer, please, and then Brandy will come and read our text for today. Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it."
As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you!" Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons.
All right, our youngest friends, you know that you have a Roots bulletin available for you. There's several at the back, should you need that. The text that Miss Brandy read, that's what we're going to be talking about today, and there are a couple of activities on the back that you can pay attention to specifically. So that is yours if you choose to use it. Let's pray together, please. Oh God, by your grace and mercy, you meet us where we are, and we give you thanks for this. Pour through me now the gift of preaching. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. Last week, as I mentioned just a bit ago, we began our six-month series in the Gospel of Mark. If you were unable to join us, feel free to visit last week's sermon on Facebook Live, but the gist of it is this. Jesus announces that the kingdom of God is this close. And he invites a few commoners to join him on this journey of discovery. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, all local fishermen, at once drop their gear, leave their nets, and follow him. Mark, we said, is about discipleship, this ongoing formation into Christ-likeness by living into God's vision for God's people. We also talked about how Mark's writing style is fast. Write it and go. Do it and drive on. Watch this and head out. By the time we reach our text for this morning, here is what has already happened in Mark. John the Baptist baptizes in the desert. Jesus is baptized by John. God's Spirit sends Jesus into the desert for 40 days. John is put into prison. Jesus announces the impending reign of God. Two sets of brothers join in. If we were studying Matthew instead of Mark, we would still be climbing out of Jesus' family tree that Matthew so meticulously writes down, something that our resident genealogist, Jenny Fagg, would be incredibly proud of. The race continues in our section today, or should we say sections, what Brandy just read aloud to us. In it, there is not one scene but four. One healing, many healings, morning prayer, and a frantic search. The one healing is not a random, unknown individual, but the mother-in-law of Simon Peter. That's right. Peter is married. Who knew? Jesus and his four disciples are at Simon's house in Capernaum, and his wife's mom is there, sick and in bed with a fever. Without aspirin or a doctor, Jesus does the work, going to her bedside, holding her hand, helping her up. A resurrection of sorts, an early preview of his own. The fever dissipates immediately, and she begins to wait on the gathered folks in her home, setting out bread and wine and olives, just like she's probably always done. But now she has a new purpose, a new reason. She has been healed. She responds to Jesus' action with an action of her own, which is more than any of the men can say at this point, including her son-in-law. She interprets the gift that she herself receives and can do nothing other than serve. The word serve or wait on, by the way, comes from the word diakono, which is where we get the word deacon. She is a deaconess, the first in the New Testament. Diakonow is also the word that's used when the angels tend to Jesus in the wilderness during his bout with temptation. Simon's mother-in-law joins the ranks of heavenly beings, serving and ministering to those around her. The healings section arrives when individuals become a multitude. Whether he meant to or not, Jesus becomes a public figure and all that entails in just a short amount of time. No one really should be surprised that the news about Jesus, the miracle worker, spreads. In the same day, he's cured a man of demon possession in the story right before ours today, and a woman with fever. What else can he do? That very evening, the entire village tries to find out, bringing to Simon's house all the tired, the poor, the huddled masses, the wretched refuse. They've all teamed to his door. They press against the front of the house, the sick and the demon-possessed, as well as all the family members who have suffered right along with them. It's that chaotic mixture of waiting patiently for your turn and this desperate need to see someone who has the potential to better your situation. I think of Rembrandt's print entitled Christ Healing the Sick. You see it up on the screen. Rembrandt etched this piece to depict Matthew 19, where Jesus lays his hands on the ill, but the sentiment shown here is the same as what's going on in Mark chapter 1. Person after person after person, a never-ending stream of neediness. In this etching, you can see shades of our own pandemic time. We've seen the pictures and heard the stories, desperation and pleading, mad scrambles for medical attention, lack of oxygen tanks in hospital rooms, nurses and doctors working valiantly and with great fatigue at the cost of their own mental health. Which makes me very grateful for people like Jessica Vaughn, who has very purposefully striven to look after the medical staff under her care. When Capernaum comes to Simon's front door, Jesus, full of compassion, heals the many of diseases and demon possession. Jesus does not discriminate from those who seek him out. He doesn't care if they've reached their insurance deductible. He is not afraid or put off by their illnesses, mental or otherwise. Jesus simply meets them in their time of need and touches them with a healing touch. I don't imagine Jesus as an unfeeling assembly line healer where people are placed in a single line, single file line before him. And Jesus taps the tops of their heads with a yawning sigh. They are instantly cured. And the disciples usher them along quickly, incessantly reminding them that there are no autographs or pictures allowed. Next, Jesus seems to be the type of person who at least gets their names. Where are you from? Who's your mom and dad? Listening to them share funny stories of what James and John did as kids. He seems to be the type of person where empathy just gushes out of him, embracing people like a mother hen who gathers her chicks under her wings. These people move him. For many of you, just one conversation like that can wear you out, at least it does for me. But a whole village? As heroic and God-breathed as Jesus is, he is no Superman in terms of not needing sleep. He leaves the crowd, perhaps even before all the sick are able to see him, which is a fascinating thought. Jesus goes back inside, shuts the door, rubs his eyes, closes them. In the early morning, though, while it's still dark and everyone is still asleep, he gets up. The early morning will show up again in Mark twice more, once at Jesus' trial, once when a few female disciples carry funeral spices to the cemetery. But on this morning, Jesus tiptoes back to the door, leaves the house, and goes off into the quiet. There he prays. Jesus is the one who makes time to pray and searches for a space to do so. Where does he pick? A secluded place, a deserted place, a solitary place. He goes to an eremos, to a wilderness, just like he did after his baptism, where all he could rely on was the God who called him the beloved and protected him from the evil one. Jesus knows that he can hear the voice of God better when he is alone, when he retreats, when interruptions are set aside, when the physical landscape can illustrate his prayers. I love that Jesus withdraws, exemplifying to us who wish to follow him the cadences of work and prayer and rest. For Jesus, prayer is not an afterthought. It's not at the periphery. It is the center of his ministry, the center of his life. Prayer is what everything in Jesus' life flows from and to which everything in his life returns. Prayer is not initiating contact with God in order to get something done. No, prayer is always and forever a response to the God who spoke and speaks first. Prayer is a response, an answering. Prayer is the restoration of the ears more than it is the mouth. In the fourth scene, however, Jesus' disciples don't see it like that. So enamored are they by the previous night's events, the crowd, the healings, the energy, that when they realize that he has escaped his bed without their knowing, they go looking for him. Yesterday was great. How much more can he do today? Actually, look for him is not strong enough. It's too gentle. The word there suggests an aggression, a pursuit, a hostile hunting. The four disciples, led by Simon himself, hunt hawkishly for Jesus. And when they find him perched in a spot they did not think he should be, they exclaim, like Brandy said so well, "Everyone is looking for you." As if Jesus is nothing more than a lost child. Now that Simon has tasted success, he demands that Jesus returns. It won't be the last time in Mark that he tries to speak sense into Jesus. With all the clamoring from his novice disciples, in the midst of relentless cries from the herding, with such an electrifying start to public life, his name already brimming with possibility, what does Jesus do? He walks away from ministry. He leaves potential on the table. For Jesus to continue in any sort of ministry in a healthy way, he lets it go. Let's go somewhere else, Jesus says to his overly expectant disciples. Let's go to the nearby villages so I can preach there too. That's why I've come. Jesus here states his life's purpose. He is not the greatest showman. He is a preacher. That's why I've come, he says, as if his time in prayer in the wilderness that very morning confirmed to him what his next move is. And Jesus leaves, off to other towns and farms and homes to proclaim and heal there too. Four scenes in one reading, one healing, many healings, morning prayer, frantic search. We could do one of two things from here. We could take a micro view or a macro view. The micro view would tell us that we could have spent extended time in any one of these four scenes, and perhaps I should have done so. We could have talked more about Simon's mother-in-law and how her housekeeping actions are not pigeonholing her nor women in general into a certain kind of church work, but is freeing them to serve in restorative and beautiful ways, however they are called. We could have waited our turn for Jesus' touch, bringing all our aches and sorrows and sicknesses, knocking, knocking, knocking on the door until he answers and heals. We could have said that because Jesus sneaks off to pray, you probably should too. And though not all of us are mourning people, we still can steal some moments away in whatever manner we find our spirits are at their most alert. Or we could have said that the demands that other people place upon us to be a certain way, to do a certain thing, holds little weight when it comes to trusting that God has something else for you. If you need more time with any of these short narratives, by all means, do so. And listen well. If, though, instead of a zoomed-in micro view, we take a macro view and get a bird's-eye perspective of these four scenes in Mark, what can we see? If we take this unit as a whole rather than in parts, an unfolding story rather than disconnected subdivisions, what do we notice? We notice that the unifying force, the glue that holds all of these things together, is, of course, Jesus. The proclaimer of the kingdom of God, the herald of the invitation to come, follow me. The one who heals and stays and prays and leaves is the one who has not come to draw in a crowd or perform magic tricks or bend to the will of a very anxious people. He is very clear on the fact that he has come to preach. A task which, as any preacher well knows, faces an uphill battle. especially since the word is often used negatively. Don't preach at me. Or apologetically, I don't mean to get preachy. But Jesus, more than most preachers, appears to believe that preaching can change the world. That is why I have come, he says. Our macro, pulled back look at Mark's gospel helps us realize that Jesus' sermons then come in many shapes and sizes, as we will see, like through physical healings, or through deep and confusing parables, or through object lessons like human saliva or fig trees. The invitation to Jesus' disciples, to you, to me, and to us, from this point on, is to tune in. Keep following him. Trek where he treks. Stay where he stays. Rest as he does. Keep your eyes open and serve without pretension. Keep your hearts open and trust that God's kingdom is near. Keep your ears open and pray. As the life of Jesus continues to unfold before us in ways we did not expect, let us leap in all the way and even to the cross. Thanks be to God. And together we say or type, Amen. Let's stand and worship in song together.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of my days, also highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sake became poor. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Please be seated.
Our worship that we're here for leads us to the table. What a gift this is that we get to do this every single week together in the way that we're able to. A small piece of bread, a little bit of cup, a little bit of juice. We get to share this together. Christ is among us when we do this, and we give thanks for that. As I mentioned earlier, if you are interested in helping to share the bread and the cup today, You can do so as soon as I finish praying. There's some hand sanitizer up here. I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to sit down, so I'm going to rely on several of you to do so, maybe one on the left side and one on the right. If you would like to do so, you can come up while I'm praying. Let's do that now, please, and we will eat and drink together. Oh God, we give you thanks for meeting us in homes, in doors, in the wilderness. You meet us where we are, and we give you thanks. You meet us also in the bread, which is your body, and in the cup, which is your blood. We share these together now with hope and with great joy. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen.
For a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Give thanks to the Lord, for we all now can stand and fear not of being forsaken. Give thanks to the Lord for his righteousness. Give thanks to the Lord for his love. Let us worship his name and his holiness. Give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks. Give thanks to the Father for sending his Son. Give thanks to the Son for the Spirit. Now lift up your voices to God, three in one, and shout so the whole world can hear it. Give thanks to the Lord for his righteousness. Give thanks to the Lord for his love. Let us worship his name and his holiness. Give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord for his righteousness. Give thanks to the Lord for his love. Let us worship his name and his holiness. Give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks. We sing your praises, we magnify your holy name, all for your glory. Lord, we bring blessing, we seek to honor you all of our days. We lift our praise to you. We worship all you are in spirit and truth. We give our hearts, we lift our lives to you. We offer all we are for the glory of you. Almighty Father, we are your children. You have been faithful to your own. Lord, for your glory, we have been chosen.
and giving that to somebody, joining in the beautiful ministry of Simon's mother-in-law. Maybe you could give that way this week. Maybe your giving this week could come in the form of time where you were calling some folks who have not yet made the decision to maybe come here in person, and you're wondering about them, and so maybe you can give them a call. You can give your time that way. However you choose to give, may God honor your giving in your heart in that way. Let's pray, and then Glenn will walk around. We give you thanks, God, for Jesus who gives and gives, who gave his life, who gives his spirit to us today. In that same manner, we give also, and by your spirit, would you bless both the gifts and the giver. It's through Christ that we pray and do all things. Amen. Right, just a couple of family matters to share with you, and then we will be sent out with our benediction. Today is the last class that Chelsea has been leading on Zoom on Sunday mornings. She's been going through a book on the spiritual disciplines. Today's is on celebration, which I think is a fitting end to the spiritual disciplines conversation that we've been having. Chelsea's been doing a great job leading and teaching and serving in this way. So if you want to be a part of that, today is the last day. A couple of folks who are typically in charge of leading the class are kind of discerning what's next in that. So we'll let you know as soon as that decision is made. So this afternoon, when our shepherds meet together, they're going to talk about masks. Do we still need to wear them in person? Can you take them off? Are they optional? What do we do with that? Our shepherds will make that decision, talk about those sorts of things a little bit later. I know that so many of you are varied on where you want to be in that. You always have to have them. You can come if you want. We know there are different thoughts. So our shepherds are going to make that decision today, and we will let you know via our newsletter this week, and we'll put some information up on Facebook regarding next Sunday. As always, friends, thanks for being here today. What a gift it is to worship with you in person. I am so thankful for this opportunity. As we're sent out today, I want to invite you to stand, please, as I read again from Mark chapter 1, and then we will go out in peace and in purpose. Jesus replied to his disciples, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. May God give us eyes to see and ears to hear where Christ is this week. Go forth.